This program is intended for an audience that is blind and print impaired, and it will be available in podcast after the initial broadcast. This is Kirk Benrood with the North Carolina Reading Service, and I want to welcome you to Movie and Theater Previews, your source of information about upcoming productions on the stage and on the screen that are available with audio description. And December is another month with no audio-described live events going on, so we'll jump right into the movies this month. We've got Bugonia, a 2025 movie rated R. It's comedy, it's crime, it's sci-fi, it's fantasy. We've got 100 Nights of Hero, another 2025 movie with its PG-13. It's drama, it's romance, sci-fi, and fantasy. We've got Fackham Hall, a 2025 movie rated R. It's a comedy. We've got Five Nights at Freddy's, a 2025 movie rated PG. It's horror, mystery, and thriller. We've got Hamnet, a 2025 movie. It doesn't have a rating yet, but it's action and adventure, it's crime, and it's a thriller. Illumination presents Dr. Seuss the Grinch from 2018. It's a movie rated PG. It's an animation, comedy, holiday, kids and family movie. The Running Man from 2025. It's rated R. It's action and adventure, sci-fi and fantasy, also a thriller. Sisu, Road to Revenge, from 2025, is rated R. It's action and adventure and war. Eternity, from 2025, is PG-13. It's a comedy, drama, romance. It's also sci-fi and fantasy. Zootopia 2, it's rated PG from 2025. It's action and adventure. This is an animated film. It's comedy, drama, it's for kids and family. Now You See Me, Now You Don't, from 2025. It's a PG-13 movie. It's crime and thriller. Rental Family, it's PG-13. It's a comedy drama. Wicked for Good, this is the sequel to the movie Wicked. It's 2025. It's rated PG. It's for kids and family. Musical, romance, sci-fi, and fantasy. Regretting You from 2025 is PG-13. It's a drama, romance. Nuremberg, rated PG-13. It's biography, drama, history, thriller, war. Predator, Badlands, 2025. It's rated PG-13. It's an action and adventure, sci-fi and fantasy thriller. And Springsteen, Deliver Me From Nowhere, from 2025. It's rated PG-13. It's a biography, documentary, drama, and music movie. That's the list for the people that just want to know the names of them and what the ratings are. Now let's look into a brief description of each one of them. We'll start with Bugonia. Again, it's from 2025, rated R. Comedy, crime, sci-fi, and fantasy. Two conspiracy-obsessed young men kidnap the high-powered CEO of a major company, convinced that she is an alien intent on destroying planet Earth. This is directed by Yorgos Lanthimos. It's written by Will Tracy and Yang Jun-Hwan, and it stars Emma Stone, Jesse Plemons, and Ada Delbus. 100 Nights of Hero from 2025. It's rated PG-13. It's a drama, romance, sci-fi, and fantasy movie. When a charming house guest arrives at a remote castle, the delicate dynamic between a neglectful husband, his innocent bride, Cherry, and their devoted maid, Hero, is thrown into chaos. This is directed by Julia Jackman. It's written by Isabel Greenberg and Julia Jackman, and it stars Emma Corrin, Nicholas Galitzine, and Safia Oakley Green. Fackham Hall, a 2025 movie rated R. It's a comedy. A new porter forms an odd bond with the youngest daughter of a well-known UK family. as the Davenport family, headed by Lord and Lady Davenport, deals with the epic disaster of the wedding of their eldest daughter to her caddish cousin. This is directed by Jim O'Hanlon. It's written by Jimmy Carr, Patrick Carr, and Andrew Dawson. It stars Damian Lewis, Tom Felton, and Thomasine McKenzie. Five Nights at Freddy's 2. Apparently a sequel. It's a 2025 movie, rated PG. It's horror, mystery, and thriller. Anyone can survive five nights. This time, there will be no second chances. This is directed by Emma Tammy. It's written by Scott Cawthon, and it stars Josh Hutcherson, Piper Rubio, and Elizabeth Lail. Hamnet, from 2025. We don't have a rating on this one, but it's action and adventure. It's also crime and thriller. This is the story of Agnes and Will. She is a healer. He is a writer. It's also the story of their children, Susanna, their firstborn, and their twins, Judith and Hamnet. It's also the story of their small village in 16th century England. More to the point, it's a story of the lives, and especially the deaths, from plague in their times. The story is told from the point of view of Agnes, and therein lies its power. This is directed by Chloe Zhao. It's written by Chloe Zhao and Maggie O'Farrell, and it stars Jesse Buckley, Paul Mescal, and Zach Wishart. Illumination presents Dr. Seuss, The Grinch. This is from 2018. It's rated PG. It's an animation comedy, and it's for holiday and kids and family. A grumpy Grinch plots to ruin Christmas for the village of Whoville. It's directed by Yarrow Cheney and Scott Mosier. It's written by Michael LeSueur, Tommy Swerdlow, and also by Dr. Seuss. It stars Benedict Cumberbatch, Cameron Seeley, and Rashida Jones. The Running Man from 2025 is rated R. It's action and adventure, sci-fi and fantasy, and a thriller. A man joins a game in which contestants, allowed to flee anywhere in the world, are pursued by, quote, hunters, hired to kill them. This is directed by Edgar Wright. It's written by Stephen King, Michael Bacall, and Edgar Wright. It stars Glenn Powell, Alyssa Benn, and Sienna Benn. Sisu, Road to Revenge, is a 2025 R-rated movie. It's action and adventure, and also war. A man returns to dismantle his family's house, where they were murdered in war, to rebuild it elsewhere. When the killer, a Red Army commander, tracks him down, a brutal cross-country pursuit begins. This is directed by Jalmari Helander, also written by Jalmari Helander. It stars Jorma Tamila, Stephen Lang, and Richard Brake. Eternity from 2025 is rated PG. It's a comedy, drama, romance, sci-fi, and fantasy film. In an afterlife where souls have 1 week to decide where to spend eternity, Joan is faced with the impossible choice between the man she spent her life with and her first love, who died young and has waited decades for her to arrive. This is directed by David Frayne. It's written by Patrick Cunane and David Frayne. It stars Miles Teller, Elizabeth Olsen, and Callum Turner. Zootopia 2 from 2025 is rated PG. It's action and adventure, animation, comedy, crime, kids and family. Brave rabbit cop Judy Hopps and her friend Fox, Nick Wilde, team up again to crack a new case, the most perilous and intricate of their careers. It's directed by Jared Bush and Byron Howard, written by Jared Bush. It stars Jennifer Goodwin, Jason Bateman, and Kei Hui Kwan. Now You See Me, Now You Don't, 2025 PG movie. It's crime and thriller. A diamond heist reunites retired horseman illusionists with new performers Greenblatt, Smith, and Sessa as they target dangerous criminals. This is directed by Ruben Fleischer. It's written by Michael Leslie, Paul Wernick, and Rhett Reese. It stars Jesse Eisenberg, Woody Harrelson, and Dave Franco. Rental Family, it's rated PG-13. It's a comedy drama. An American actor in Tokyo, struggling to find purpose, lands an unusual gig, working for a Japanese rental family agency, playing stand-in roles for strangers. He discovers purpose, belonging, and the beauty of the human connection. This is directed by Hikari. It's written by Hikari and Stephen Blahut. It stars Brendan Fraser, Paolo Andrea Di Pietro, and Takehiro Hira. Wicked for Good from 2025 is rated PG. It's for kids and family. It's a musical, romance, sci-fi, and fantasy. Elphaba, the future Wicked Witch of the West, and her relationship with Glinda, the Good Witch of the North, the second of a two-part feature film adaptation of the Broadway musical. It's directed by John M. Chu. It's written by Stephen Schwartz, Winnie Holtzman, and Gregory Maguire. It stars Cynthia Erivo, Ariana Grande, and Jeff Goldblum. Regretting You from 2025 is rated PG-13. It's a drama romance. A mother and daughter must grapple with what's left after a devastating accident reveals a shocking betrayal and forces them to confront family secrets, redefine love, and rediscover themselves. This is directed by Josh Boone. It was written by Susan McMartin and Colleen Hoover. It stars Allison Williams, McKenna Grace, and Dave Franco. Nuremberg is a 2025 PG-13 rated movie. It's a biography, drama, history, thriller, war film. A World War II psychiatrist evaluates Nazi leaders before the Nuremberg trials, growing increasingly obsessed with understanding evil as he forms a disturbing bond with Hermann Göring. This is directed by James Vanderbilt. It's written by James Vanderbilt and Jack L. High. It stars Michael Shannon, Colin Hanks, and Russell Crowe. Predator Badlands is a 2025 PG-13 rated movie. It's action and adventure, sci-fi and fantasy, and also a thriller. A young predator outcast from his clan finds an unlikely ally on his journey in search of the ultimate adversary. This is directed by Dan Trechenberg. It's written by Patrick Eisen, Dan Trechenberg, and Jim Thomas. And it stars Ellie Fanning, Demetrius Schuster-Kolamatangi, and Ravi Narayan. And finally, we've got Springsteen, Deliver Me From Nowhere. It's a 2025 PG-13 rated biography, documentary, drama, music film. Bruce Springsteen's journey crafting his 1982 album, Nebraska, which emerged as he recorded Born in the USA with the E String Band. And this is based on a book by Warren Zanes. The director is Scott Cooper. The screenplay is written by Scott Cooper and Warren Zanes. And it stars Jeremy Allen White, Jeremy Strong, and Paul Walter Hauser. And now we'll take a look at what James Berardinelli has to say about a few of these movies. Eternity, he gives it 3.5 out of a possible 4 stars and tells us, "At first, Eternity seems to be just an offbeat rom-com, a trifle about a woman forced to choose between two men. Beneath the surface, however, there's more going on. The screenplay, co-credited to director David Frain and Pat Kinane, challenges the viewer to think about what love really means. Is it the passion of a flaming affair that burns white hot for a short time? Or is it something slower, longer, and more patient? A fusing of individuals through shared experiences and compromises over the better part of a lifetime? That's the question Joan, played by Elizabeth Olsen, has to answer. Is it Larry, played by Miles Teller, or Luke, played by Callum Turner? She has only a week to make the decision, a deadline that becomes both a source of tension and a narrative clock. In most romantic comedies, there's a clear-cut rooting interest and a pretty obvious indication of who's going to end up canoodling when the end credits finally arrive. That's not a flaw, it's a feature. But it's also one area where eternity upends convention, because, given the nature of what's going on, allegiances switch back and forth with surprising regularity. The screenplay keeps rejiggering our sympathies, pushing us to reconsider what we value more, youthful passion or the emotional bedrock of companionship. And although it could be argued that the ending is preordained, I don't think I really saw it until it was obvious. Although a threesome isn't in the cards, I can't say there weren't moments when I hoped the movie might at least flirt with the idea. Joan is dead, not at the very beginning of the film when she's a 90-ish woman played by Betty Buckley, suffering from terminal cancer but soldiering on for her children, but soon after. Her husband, Larry, who has been by her side for 65 years, precedes her into the afterworld following an unfortunate encounter with a windpipe-obstructing pretzel. He awakens in Eternity's lobby, looking as he did about 50 years earlier. He doesn't have to wait long for Joan to join him, but there's a complication. Before Joan married Larry, she was briefly the wife of Luke, a U.S. serviceman who died during the Korean War. Their romance burned brightly, but his sacrifice ended it. Joan moved on, although she never forgot Luke, and both she and Larry couldn't help but occasionally wonder whether she had settled for her second husband. In the afterlife, Luke has been waiting diligently for 65 years, anticipating a reunion. Now Joan must choose, walk the path not taken with Luke and claim the future she once imagined, or stay with Larry, the man who shared her entire adult life and knows her as well as she knows herself, perhaps even better. Making things more urgent is that there are no do-overs. Once a decision has been made and a path has been followed, there's no turning back. The filmmakers have a lot of fun throwing out options for different eternities, each with its own slogan and advertising campaign. Regardless of what future one can imagine, it's out there. For Luke, it's a rustic cabin in the woods with a view to die for, so to speak. For Larry, it's a crowded beach resort where the sights aren't quite as enticing. At first, both men are convinced Joan is going to pick them. Then, as they begin to realize that the other might have the upper hand, we see flickers of insecurity and a real fear of loneliness. They even bond over those shared anxieties. Although some of the comedy is a little too broad, the screenplay is pitched at a higher level than one might normally expect from a movie of this sort. The three leads are all immensely likable. There's a great companionable chemistry between Miles Teller and Elizabeth Olsen. An easiness to their interactions makes it believable that they have spent more than half a century tripping over one another. Callum Turner has the sort of earnestness that turns Luke into a quasi-tragic figure, someone whose dedication would cause Jane Austen to swoon. It's a rare screenplay that surprises me. Eternity is one of those exceptions. Although unquestionably playing by the rom-com rulebook, it nevertheless wanders just enough off the beaten path to forge its own way. It's quirky, a little unpredictable, and never feels like warmed-over leftovers. There's a bite to things, an edginess that doesn't cut too deeply, but keeps the sentimentality in check, one of the year's most pleasant surprises. And he gives Rental Family 3 out of a possible 4 stars. With its curious fusion of tear-jerking drama and fish-out-of-water humor, Rental Family is indeed a strange brew. One of those films that sounds slightly ridiculous in synopsis, but blossoms into something unexpectedly tender when experienced moment to moment. Ultimately, a meditation on the importance of human connection, the film also works as an affecting drama with lightly comic undertones, the sort of low-key tonal blend that sneaks up on you. It's easily accessible and features a career-best performance from Brendan Fraser. Set in Tokyo, the movie chronicles the difficulties faced by out-of-work American actor Philip Vanderplug, played by Fraser, as he searches for work that's sustainable, satisfying, and ideally not beneath him. A lifetime of middling roles and cultural displacement has left him stranded, both professionally and emotionally. Then along comes Rental Family, an agency run by a self-styled visionary named Shinji, played by Takehiro Hira, whose business model is as simple as it is bizarre. Hire performers to stand in as lovers, friends, or family members, depending on the client's needs. Philip joins a small troupe of these paid companions and soon finds himself cast in increasingly impossible social dramas. One job requires him to pretend to marry a lesbian woman so that her traditional parents can enjoy the happy wedding they've always imagined for their daughter while she quietly escapes to Canada to be with her partner. Another gig proves far less theatrical. He spends an evening playing video games with a lonely man who just wants someone, anyone, to sit with him once in a while. But Philip's biggest challenges come in two emotionally fraught assignments. In one, he's hired by the daughter of aging actor Kikuo Hasegawa, played by Akira Emoto, to interview her father for a fictional profile, providing a reason for Philip to spend time with the old man and give him something to feel proud of. In the other, he is recruited to play the long-lost father of a young girl, Mia Kawasaki, played by Shannon Mahina Gorman, whose admission to an elite school depends on her presenting a two-parent household. Although Rental Family is fictional, it grows from a real trend that has taken root in Japanese society. There is something both fascinating and disquieting about the commodification of companionship, though the film wisely avoids moral finger-wagging. And the idea of paying someone for emotional presence isn't exactly new. Prostitutes and professional companions have been doing versions of this work for millennia. What the film presents is a more tasteful, less prurient expression of the same impulse, to hire a human accessory who can momentarily fill a void. As the jobs grow more intimate, Philip finds he can't keep real feeling from bleeding into the work. His inability to maintain a clear boundary between what's real and what's pretend leads to catastrophic slips in both of his key jobs, and the fallout provides the film with some of its strongest material. If there's a negative about Rental Family, it's that it sometimes tries too hard to crank up the sentimentality. A few of the film's most affecting moments feel overly familiar, as if borrowed from other feel-good melodramas. They play effectively enough, but not with the impact they might have had if handled with a little more restraint. Fraser, however, papers over many of these shortcomings. The Philip he embodies is far richer and more dimensional than what's on the page. His quiet despair in the early scenes, followed by his moral and emotional struggles later on, make Philip a fully realized individual. For viewers open to embrace the oddball premise and willing to read more than a smattering of subtitles, since only about half of the dialogue is in English, Rental Family offers roughly 105 minutes of solid, character-driven entertainment, a human story about the things that bind us together. It plays like an antidote to the blandness of Hollywood's undercooked blockbusters and to the ugly, documentary-level realities waiting outside the theater doors, with Hikari's sharp direction and Fraser's grounded, moving performance, Rental Family feels comforting without being trite and familiar, without being stale. It's the rare sentimental film that earns its emotions honestly, even when it occasionally overreaches. And Mr. Berardinelli has reviews of 7 other movies that are on our list of 18 today, but we only have time for a quick blurb about each one. So Bugonia, he tells it, that it tries to give dark comedy and lands on joyless cynicism, a misanthropic misfire that mistakes discomfort for depth. He gives it 2.5 stars. Hamnet, he gives 3 stars, says, uneven pacing aside, this intimate drama lands hard in its final act, thanks to Buckley and a riveting Hamlet staging. Sisu, Road to Revenge, he gives it 3 stars, says, it unleashes a brisk, violent spectacle, pushing its unkillable hero through inventive set pieces that keep the adrenaline pumping. Springsteen, Deliver Me From Nowhere, he gives 2.5 stars, says that it's a beautifully crafted downer that confuses gloom for depth and leaves the boss looking like a man without a melody. The Running Man, he gives 2.5 stars, calls it a grim, lumbering redo that mirrors the novel, drops the fun, and never finds the energy Edgar Wright usually delivers. Gives that 2.5 stars. Wicked for Good, he gives 2.5 stars. This is the conclusion to the Wicked duology. He says that it delivers lavish spectacle and safe fan service, but slips into bloated pacing and thinned-out storytelling. And finally, on an upper note, Zootopia 2, he gives it 3 out of the possible 4 stars and calls it a colorful, energetic sequel that deepens its central partnership while offering familiar thrills and broad appeal for all ages. And all of the movies mentioned in this broadcast are available at theaters run by Cinemark, Regal, or AMC. For Cinemark, you can get their schedule by going to cinemark.com/movies. That's CINEMARK.com. For Regal, go to regmovies.com. And for AMC, it's AMC.com. And that's it for this episode of Movie and Theater Previews. Hopefully, this information will be useful. Remember, the program will be in podcast after the broadcast, so you can double-check anything you like. I'm Kurt Benrood for the North Carolina Reading Service. So long, until next time.